Hello, and welcome to Fancastic, the fan podcast for your favorite shows. I'm your host, Lauren Galloway. Today, I will be reviewing Once Upon a Time. For the last 2 weeks, Once Upon a Time has been on a break, and upcoming this Sunday, it will also be on a break, and we don't get another episode for another week. So, there are only 4 episodes left. How have you guys been enjoying the season so far? We have ventured back to Fairy Tale Land, back to Storybrooke. We've seen Storybrooke at its conception in 1983 in the episode Welcome to Storybrooke. We've been introduced to new characters such as Captain Hook, the giant from Jack and the Beanstalk. We have met Regina's mother, Cora. We have learned who Henry's father is. We've discovered what happened to August after he turned to wood, and we have seen the arrival of newcomer Greg, or as he was known as a child, Owen. So let's take a look back at season 2 before we hit the last 4 episodes of the finale. The season opened with the curse broken. The episode was called Broken, and it was written by the show's creators, Edward Kitsis and Adam Horowitz. Now, this was an important episode because everyone regained their memories. And just as you think life will get back to normal, Snow, Mary Margaret, and Emma get sucked in through the hat, and they get pulled into the magical realm. They get pulled into the Enchanted Forest. Now, at this point, we did not know if the Enchanted Forest still existed. If when the curse was enacted, everyone was pulled into the real world. I think Regina did want the fairy tale characters to believe that, but there was a part of the realm that was spared, and we come upon Aurora, who is woken up by her true love, Prince Philip, and his bodyguard, Mulan. In the episode, a wraith attacks Philip, and he is believed to be dead. And thus begins the journey of Snow and her daughter Emma getting back to the real world. In the next episode is called We Are Both, and Regina is grappling with to use magic or not to use magic because she wants Henry back. We get some backstory about Regina, how she met Rumpelstiltskin, and how Regina eventually got rid of her mother, Cora, in the past by pushing her into a mirror into a land unknown, which, as we can tell, is a reference to the Alice in Wonderland story Through the Looking Glass, which we know Cora became the Queen of Hearts. So Regina was able to get rid of her mother using magic as a young person. Episode 3, Lady of the Lake, we see Emma and Mary Margaret with the help of Mulan, Princess Aurora, and Sir Lancelot look for the magical wardrobe that sent Emma to Storybrooke in the first place. They're looking for the wardrobe because they want to get home. Episode 4, The Crocodile. Now, for those of you who are familiar with fairy tales, you are familiar with Captain Hook's nemesis, the crocodile, who in the fairy tale took his hand when Peter Pan was fighting Hook. Now, in true Once Upon a Time style, the crocodile is not an animal. It is a person, and it's actually Rumpelstiltskin. We see Rumpelstiltskin's wife leave him for Hook. And because Hook had taken his wife, Rumpel took his hand and killed his wife, saying that Hook needed to feel what he felt, that loss and that betrayal. So now we have the introduction of Colin Donahue, which for many of you is a great addition to the Once Upon a Time cast. Episode 5, The Doctor. This is the backstory of Dr. Whale, who is played by David Anders. Many of you may recall David Anders from shows like Heroes and Alias, and I have been wondering who Dr. Whale was. Well, as it turns out, he is none other than Victor Frankenstein, who was bent on raising the dead. Episode 6 is called Tallahassee. Now, Tallahassee was one of my favorite episodes of the season. Tallahassee is Emma's backstory. So at this point in time, she is still in the Enchanted Forest. She and Captain Hook have to climb the beanstalk to find a magic bean, or in this case, a magic compass, to get home. We get lots of flashbacks of Emma in her past. We see how she met Neil Cassady, who is the father of Henry. They spend a lot of time together, they fall in love, and they decide to settle down in Tallahassee. But before they can finish this thief job that they are about to commit, August, who is Pinocchio, comes and tells Neil who Emma really is, and that Neil needs to turn Emma into the police. So Neil disappears and leaves Emma. August disappears and Emma goes to jail, but she is pregnant. So this shows her backstory, why she told Regina in season one that she gave birth to Henry while she was in jail, and that the father is not anyone's concern. Now the question is, who is Neil? Why would August tell him to leave? And what did August show Neil in the typewriter? The next episode is called Child of the Moon, which, if you've seen it, you know is an episode that shows a lot of Red's backstory. It shows who her family is, who her werewolf family is, and it shows her choosing humans over werewolves. When Snow White comes upon her family and her mother asks her to kill Snow White, Red can't do it. During this episode, Henry, his dreams have become very scary and very harmful and very dangerous. And Regina enlists help from Mr. Gold to help protect him in this place of fiery dreams. Episode 8, Into the Deep. We see Cora and Hook working together. Now, Cora was pretending to be Lancelot and she was hiding in the village. Cora is obviously back and she is a great threat. Cora had promised Captain Hook to take him to Storybrooke with her because he is bent on killing the crocodile, but Cora decides not to take Captain Hook because he was not able to get the compass. By the end of the episode, they kidnap Aurora, they attempt to get the compass back, and when they can't, Hook rips out Aurora's heart, which was a terrible scene to watch. He does this because he is trying to convince Cora to take him to Storybrooke. And unfortunately, Emma and Mulan do not understand that Aurora is not herself and that she is being tricked by Cora. At the same time, Aurora and Henry have been seeing each other in the Room of Fire. They decide to send Henry in to see if he can communicate with them, but David, Prince Charming, does not want to send Henry into a place of harm. So, David puts himself under a sleeping curse and goes into the netherworld, where he does get to see Snow and he has a conversation with Snow, but he gets stuck and Snow is not able to kiss him to break the curse. Episode 9, The Queen of Hearts. Now we learned previously that Regina, when she was younger, she threw her mother into the mirror. Cora spent time in Wonderland, she became the Queen of Hearts, but she's still alive. And if she is still alive, she is still a threat to Regina. So in a flashback, we see Regina send Hook to Wonderland to bring her mother, Cora, out of Wonderland and into the Enchanted Forest for one purpose, for the purpose of killing her. When Cora was still alive, she and Hook decide to save a piece of land to stay on until the curse is broken. So we see Hook and Cora plotting from the beginning, and that is why Aurora and Mulan's land was not affected by the curse when Regina enacted it. Hook and Cora were protecting it so that they would not lose their memory and they would not be a part of the curse. Ruby and Leroy discover that Regina and Mr. Gold have taken diamonds from the mines. Henry and Ruby set off to stop them because they want to blow up any possibility of Snow and Emma returning to Storybrooke. At the very end of this episode, Snow breaks Prince Charming's curse. Emma and Snow are able to come through the well. Regina decides to not blow it up for her love of Henry. And Cora and Hook arrive in Storybrooke. So, everyone is back, including our new characters, Cora and Hook. Episode 10, The Cricket Game. Cora and Captain Hook arrive in Storybrooke in an effort to ruin Regina's life and kill Rumpelstiltskin. With Emma and Mary Margaret back from the fairy tale land, everyone gathers to throw them a welcome back party until Regina shows up. At this point, Regina has been doing her best not to use magic. We almost see a positive side of Regina surfacing. We know from her flashbacks that her mother, Cora, had her true love killed and that she was forced to marry Snow White's dad. Regina is a very tragic character, and in my opinion, I really enjoyed seeing her just kind of struggle with, do I use magic? Do I not use magic? Unfortunately, the town is not ready to accept Regina yet because of all the terrible things she did to them back in the Enchanted Forest. Now, Cora and Hook, they are up to no good. And Cora, disguised as Regina, goes to Archie's office. Now remember, Archie is the cricket from Pinocchio, the conscience. They go to Archie's office and they kill Archie. The next day, Pongo comes to Granny's, and Ruby and Emma, knowing something is wrong, follow Pongo. They find Archie dead. They have video footage of Regina going into Archie's office. It does not look good for Regina. So, over the last 9 episodes, Regina has been doing her best to regain trust and confidence with the townspeople of Storybrooke, but her mother completely ruins that trust. And her mother does it to manipulate her and to get Regina to think that everyone is against her. And of course, they accuse her wrongly, but they feel like they have proof. The next episode is entitled The Outsider. Mr. Gold finds an unwilling test subject to see if a spell he has concocted will allow him to cross the border of Storybrooke without losing his memory to go in search of his son, Bay. So, we discover that Rumpelstiltskin's agenda in allowing Regina to release the curse is to discover his son, Bay. He knows that Bay is in the world somewhere, but he does not know where at this point. So, if anyone crosses the Storybrooke line, their memory will revert to their Storybrooke characters, and they will have no memory of who they were in the Enchanted Forest. So, Mr. Gold devises a spell, and he enchants something that is precious and dear to someone, and if they are wearing it when they cross the line, they will not lose their memory. This episode shows a lot of Belle's backstory. We get to see what happens to Belle after she leaves Mr. Gold or Rumpelstiltskin's house in the Enchanted Forest. We see her pairing up with Mulan as they set out to slay a fearsome beast called the Yaogwai, which turns out to be an enchanted Prince Philip. So we see how Mulan became Philip's bodyguard. Emma, in this episode, worries about Henry and how Archie's death is going to affect him, and convinces Marco to let them keep Pongo. But Archie is not dead. Emma discovers that Archie is still alive, which was obviously Cora's plan all along. Now, Hook is still determined to ruin Rumpelstiltskin's life. And once he discovers that Rumpelstiltskin loves Belle, he devises a plan to hurt Belle. So Rumpelstiltskin has enchanted Bay's cloak. That is something that is the most precious to him. He enchants it, and as he is about to cross the Storybrooke line, and Belle has come to say goodbye and send him off with good wishes and hope, a car comes crashing in. Belle gets shot in the shoulder, which makes her go over the border. Belle completely loses her memory of Rumpelstiltskin, and the car crashes into Hook. So the outsider is obviously the person who crashed into Hook. Now the question remains, who is the outsider? Did he come to Storybrooke on purpose? Is he just a wayward traveler? There's always questions of who is who in these episodes. The next episode is In the Name of the Brother, where we get to see more backstory on Dr. Whale. At the end of this episode, Cora and Regina try to reconcile. Cora comes to her, you know, says you are at your lowest, you are at your rock bottom, the people you wanted to trust don't trust you, come to me. And Cora tells Regina that everyone has framed her for Archie's murder. At the very, very end of the episode, we discover that the man who was in the car accident, he's now in the hospital and Dr. Whale performed surgery on him and he is on his way to recovery. It appears that he saw more than he is letting on, and he starts texting someone named Her. And that remains kind of a soft mystery over the next few episodes. Episode 13 is called Tiny. Mr. Gold, Emma, and Henry set off on a mission to find Balefire, Rumpelstiltskin's son. David and Mary Margaret stay behind, and Regina is very upset when she finds out that Emma never told her about Henry leaving Storybrooke. The very end of the episode, Emma, Mr. Gold, and Henry get on a plane to New York. Now, why would Emma ever agree to go anywhere with Mr. Gold? Is because in season one, Mr. Gold says, if I do this for you, you owe me a favor. And so Mr. Gold calls in the favor. Now, episode 14, Manhattan, is one of my favorite episodes of both seasons. It was absolutely hilarious watching Mr. Gold fly on a plane and obviously being worried about going through the metal detector and not wanting to take off his scarf, and just the fact that he, even though he's so powerful, he is still weak, and he is still weak in uncomfortable situations. I love the action in this episode. They go to Balefire's apartment, and Emma uses her skills to figure out which one is his, and they come upon Balefire, but he's hooded. You can't tell who it is. And Emma chases him down all throughout New York, all throughout downtown Manhattan, only to discover that Balefire is Neil. Dun, dun, dun. So Henry's dad is Rumpelstiltskin's son. And that is obviously how August convinced him to leave Emma in the first place. Now, throughout this episode, we get a backstory of why Rumpelstiltskin was called a coward. He has an encounter with the seer. She tells him that his actions on the battlefield tomorrow will leave his son fatherless. Now, Rumpelstiltskin thinks that he will die on the battlefield if he fights, so he injures himself to get out of fighting. But his wife says that it would have been better for him to die as a hero than live as a coward. And we see how that starts him on the path of weakness and a poor reputation and him eventually becoming the Dark One. So was it his cowardice that led his son to become fatherless? Would it have been his death? It's difficult to say. And at the end of the episode, we see Rumpelstiltskin as the Dark One taking the seer's power from her, which is how Rumpelstiltskin has the gift of foresight. Episode 15, The Queen is Dead. Now, I saw this episode title a few weeks before it aired, and I was trying to figure out which queen they were talking about. Obviously, not Regina. Maybe Cora. And we haven't really seen Maleficent lately, so I had no idea that it was going to be Snow White's mother. Now, I love this episode because it has a character named Johanna. And if you are Downton Abbey fans, you recognize Mrs. Patmore. I loved seeing her in this episode. Johanna was an old friend of Snow White's mother. Now, this day in Storybrooke is the day that Snow White's mother died. It's Snow White's birthday, and of course, it is very difficult to celebrate your birthday when your own mother died on the same day. We discover at the end of the episode that Cora killed Snow White's mother so that Regina could be queen. Cora also ends up killing Johanna in order to show Mary Margaret that, in her opinion, good will always lose and evil will prevail. The next episode is called The Miller's Daughter, which I have to say my mom called maybe 8 weeks before the episode ever aired. They started showing clips of Cora, and everyone had been speculating who Cora was in the past, and as my mom called it, she is the Miller's daughter. For those of you who are familiar with fairy tale lore, Rumpelstiltskin comes from a story about a young peasant who was asked by the king to spin straw into gold. We see that Cora was the young peasant. Cora boldly said and declared in the court of the king and the queen that she could spin straw into gold. As she was crying and distraught over the fact that she could not, Rumpelstiltskin shows up, and not only does he help her spin the straw into gold, but Cora asks him to teach her. Throughout the episode, we see that Cora and Rumpelstiltskin have fallen in love, which is quite a soft touch, because Rumpel is obviously a tragic character. And Cora, she's destined to marry the king. Well, the future king. She's destined to marry the prince. And she has to decide whether or not she wants to live with Rumpelstiltskin and learn magic and follow the path of true love, or have, quote, everything she could ever want as the future queen of this kingdom. Sadly, she chooses to rip out her own heart because she would rather rule and have power than love Rumpelstiltskin. And the fact that she could not live with her heart inside of her meant that she truly loved Rumpelstiltskin, and she knew that she could not make the decision on her own. At the very end of the episode, as Rumpelstiltskin, or Mr. Gold, is found dying, Snow White decides that she would rather have Cora die and have Rumpelstiltskin live than have Rumpelstiltskin die and have Cora live. Using a magic candle, Snow convinces Regina to kill her own mother, which makes Regina bent on vengeance, which makes her bent on killing Mary Margaret. This was a very sad episode, and Snow White did something that she has never done before, which is kill on purpose. And we see this decision affect her over the next two episodes. The next episode is entitled Welcome to Storybrooke, and most of this episode takes place the very first day the curse was enacted in 1983. Now, Kitsis and Horowitz fans, you might recall they wrote the script for the Disney movie Tron Legacy. In the movie, a son and his father are separated when his father goes missing, and the son is determined to find the location of his father. They ran a company called Encom, And in the sequel, Tron Legacy, Flynn, the child, young Flynn, is able to find his father. So we see Storybrooke. We see Regina kind of rejoicing in the fact that Snow White has no memory of who she is, that Prince Charming is in a coma, that she can do and have whatever she wants. What she was not aware of was that there was a man and his son camping in the woods within the boundaries of this newly created town. Throughout the episode, Regina tries to convince the father and the son to stay because she desperately wants a child. But Regina, as usual, uses magic and manipulation to get the boy and the father to stay, and they decide to leave. In the midst of this conflict, Regina asks the boy to stay. His name is Owen. And he says, "Not like this, not like this, not with you, you know, manipulating my father and using threats." And he leaves. And Regina and Sheriff Graham, who we have all missed, they take his dad and they disappear. Later, the boy returns with the police, but Regina has enchanted Storybrooke and no one can see it. We find out at the very end of this episode that the young boy has grown up and that he is none other than our outsider, Greg, played by Ethan Embry. Greg, who is now fully recovered from his injury and who has been texting pictures and videos to her of different displays of magic, we now discover that he is the boy grown up, and obviously he is back to find his father. Throughout this episode, Snow White is in bed. She cannot handle the fact that she willfully decided to kill someone. She approaches Regina. She says, "Regina, kill me. You know, take my heart. Do it. I cannot live with myself." Regina reaches in, takes her heart. Oh, it was terrible to watch. But she noticed a black spot on Snow White's heart, meaning that a seed of evil has been planted inside of Snow's heart. And Regina, instead of killing Snow in that moment, says that this is far worse, that I would much rather have you be destroyed by magic and evil than to be put out of your mercy, essentially. So now we know that Mary Margaret has quite a journey to come back from her killing Cora. Episode 18 of this season, Selfless, Brave, and True, which is a phrase taken from Pinocchio. The episode begins with August in bed in Thailand, in Phuket. And he is obviously, you know, living the life. He is not being responsible. He's not being selfless, brave, and true. And the second that Emma decides to stay in Storybrooke back in season one, August begins to become wood again. He goes in search of a healer called the dragon, who I think is the dragon from Mulan, but I could be wrong. The dragon requires two things of him: $10,000 in cash and something that holds significant value to him. While he is in the dragon's apartment, he meets a woman named Tamara. Tamara has cancer, she has $10,000, she needs healing, and in a moment of desperation, August steals the $10,000 from her and goes to see the dragon. The dragon gives him a magical potion that will help his body stop turning into wood. What we see later was that Tamara does not have cancer, that she was lying, and that all she wants is the magic. She kills the dragon with a taser, which hopefully he's not dead. Hopefully he was teleported or transported. And later August finds him and sees that someone has killed him. August goes to New York to tell Neil what has happened, that the curse could possibly be broken very soon, that Emma's in Storybrooke and that he should go to Storybrooke. And Tamara has followed August from Hong Kong to New York, and she bumps into Neil. Now, a modern day, Tamara has joined Neil in Storybrooke. this is Neil's fiance. They're in love. Neil tries to tell her that they are living in a magical world. Of course, she denies it, but we all know that she is faking. She goes to see August after Snow White comes upon August, and she kills him with her taser. August is completely made out of wood, and before Tamara finds him, Snow finds him. She comes across him. And the powerful thing about this episode is that Snow is dealing with unforgiveness of herself and self-hatred and regret, but so is August. He knows that he did not live selfless, brave, and true, but Snow is able to encourage him and convince him that you can come back from anything. And really what she's doing is she's preaching to herself. Really, sometimes you need to solve someone else's problem before you can solve your own. So at the end of the episode, Pinocchio is dead. He has died. And the Blue Fairy wants to bring him back to life, but she is only able to if his heart is pure. And so because August sacrificed himself and put himself in harm's way, the Blue Fairy is able to turn him into a real boy. And we do not see August adult. We see little August. We see little Pinocchio, which means Geppetto gets a little boy that he has always wanted. It's an amazing episode. But after you think all the twists and turns are over, after you realize who Tamara is, that she's evil, and you start wondering about her agenda, the very last scene, you see Tamara and Greg together. And that is where ABC left us just a few weeks ago. And there are only 4 episodes left at this point. Now, I have some current speculations and theories of my own about where the season is going from here. The next 4 episode titles are available on the Once Upon a Time Wikipedia for season 2. The next episode is called Lacey. The following episode is called The Evil Queen. And the last 2, which is a 2-part season finale, is Second Star to the Right and Straight On Till Morning. So, for the episode entitled Lacey, I think that will refer to Belle, because she's the only storybook character who has always been called by her fairy tale name. And I think that Lacey would be the name that she has now that she has no memory. The episode The Evil Queen, I'm guessing that is Regina's Vengeance. That is the episode where she fully embraces her dark side, her evil side again. And instead of kind of waffling back and forth between should I be good, should I be evil, I think in that episode Regina will strike back. And the 2-part season finale, Second Star to the Right and Straight Until Morning, is pretty obvious where we're going in season 3. We are going to Never Never Land. Now the question remains, well actually there's a few questions that remain, is 1, who is Peter Pan? Will they reveal him in this season, or will we have to wait until next season? 2, why are Greg and Tamara together? Tamara's agenda surrounds magic. Either she hates magic and she wants to get rid of it, which would clarify why she's with Greg. Because if magic is what separated he and his father, then maybe he wants to destroy magic as well. So their agenda could potentially be to destroy magic. But Tamara could be hungry for magic. She could want magic, and it is possible that she could start mentoring under Regina, just as Cora and Regina mentored under Rumpelstiltskin. Now Regina could potentially start mentoring Tamara, and that could set up a whole arc for season 3 of this kind of new evil superpower. So it's hard to say where Tamara is at, if she is obsessed with magic and she wants to use it, or if she's bent on destroying magic. Now, I cannot wait to see the backstory of Greg and Tamara. I want to know how those two connected. Did Greg start blogging in the 90s about, you know, have you heard of this place called Storybrooke, or do you know about magic, or have you seen magic? And they connected that way, or is there a deeper plot going on? The other question about Tamara remains, is she from Storybrooke? Or, I'm sorry, is she from the Enchanted Forest? Is she a fairy tale character? And that remains to be seen. She told August, Pinocchio, in his trailer that she was absolutely human, but she could be lying. I guess we'll have to wait and see. Another question is, if we are going to Neverland, how will we get there? Obviously, they're growing the magical beans, and the giant is helping them grow the beans to eventually get back to the Enchanted Forest. Will they use magic to get there? Is there still power in the well? Or will they get there another way? I know that Hook's ship, the Jolly Roger, is still docked in Storybrooke, so they could potentially use the ship. Now, a theory that I have been thinking about is out of all of the Disney princesses, we have yet to see Ariel. And a lot of people love Ariel. They love mermaids. They love that story. And I know that in the story of Peter Pan, or at least in the movie Hook, there are mermaids in Never Neverland. So I'm thinking that Never Neverland is more than just a place of lost boys and pirates, but that it also is a place of mermaids, and that we will get to see Ariel, we will get to see Ursula, we will get to see King Triton, and maybe even some plucky comic relief in the form of people like Sebastian and Flounder. So let's say we do end up in Never Neverland. The other question remains, who will go to Never Neverland? If it's just Henry, if it's just Charming, if it's just Mary Margaret, then we will still have the plot running in Storybrooke. And so we'll have this dual kind of plot line in season three, just how we had this season, where some of the characters are in a magical land and some of them are not in a magical land. Now, a lot of these characters, for instance, Charming and Snow White, they have not been embracing kind of the action side of their character. They've been kind of living life in Storybrooke, but Charming wants to get back to the Enchanted Forest. He wants to, you know, slay dragons and take down giants. That is in his heart. And so possibly we will get to see a more action-oriented Charming and Snow in the Never Neverland realm. Another question, will Emma be able to travel to Never Neverland? She was able to travel to the Enchanted Forest, which means, I guess it doesn't mean if you're born in the real world, can you travel there? Because Emma wasn't born in the real world. She was born in the Enchanted Forest. So, you know what? Emma can probably travel between realms, but Henry, Greg, and Tamara are all human, if Tamara is telling the truth. Can they travel to enchanted realms? Do you have to be born in an enchanted realm to travel there? So these are all very relevant questions that we will get the answers to within the next 4 episodes. So the next episode, episode 19, entitled Lacey, which is written by the show's creators, Kitsis and Horowitz, will air April 21st. So not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. ABC is running a special behind the scenes look this Sunday on ABC, so you can catch that. Also, for those of you who are new to Once Upon a Time podcasting, there are 2 fabulous podcasts. One is the official Once Upon a Time podcast, which the show's creators answer questions that have been tweeted in by fans. Another great podcast for Once Upon a Time is called Once Podcast. It is hosted by 3 friends, and they review every episode as it comes out. They usually watch the episode Sunday night, and around Monday, either late Sunday night or early Monday morning, they'll put up their initial reaction post. Wednesday, they will release their full, just their full episode review. They'll go over Easter eggs and details that the writers put in the episode. They will answer fan questions. They will review theories that people have posted on their forums. I love Once Podcast. It is one of my favorite podcasts to listen to. If you enjoyed this podcast, I hope you will take a look at some of the other things that we will be reviewing over the next few weeks. This episode was specifically dedicated to Once Upon a Time as a catch-up episode. As new episodes air, I will be reviewing them a few days after they air, and I cannot wait to see how Kitsis and Horowitz are going to wrap up such an epic season, and I cannot wait to see Neverland. I'm so excited about that. If you love Once Upon a Time, if you have been following the series closely and have questions about the show, if you have theories about who Tamara is, who the dragon was, who Greg is, where Greg's father is, please, you can email this podcast at fancasticfanpodcast@gmail.com, or you can tweet me directly at Lauren, Lauren, underscore Galloway, Gallaway, on Twitter. I would absolutely love to hear from you. As the weeks progress, I will be reviewing other shows like Arrow, Doctor Who, Sherlock, and Psych. And if you are a fan of any of those shows, please do not hesitate to email or tweet me. I look forward to hearing from you soon, and thanks for listening. This has been Fancastic, the Fan Podcast.